This is kind of just kind of a random Bible study that that I kind of wanted to do. It's something that the Lord has taught me in just one of my times with him. I would say that this is probably, 3 months ago, maybe four, where I'm just kind of reading scripture in my office, usually from about 7 to 8. And for whatever reason, the Lord just spoke to me on this subject one morning, and I just loved it. And so I thought, why not share with you guys? Probably this is going to come out in some sermon at some point in my ministry. And so you can probably, if you're here and you hear that again, don't be like, oh, I heard this one before. Just be like, okay, he told us he was going to teach it that Wednesday night, but we'd probably hear it again. So you could just remember that I kept my word. I'm really excited about this one. Last week, I enjoyed kind of talking about what we talked about. This is kind of just the same thing. That one was just kind of a random passage of scripture and just kind of talking to you about what the Lord was teaching me. I think that's kind of the best way to teach people. I really don't love getting up here and preaching something that I don't feel like the Lord has just taught me as well. You have to do it. I mean, that's what we do as pastors. Sometimes the Lord hasn't talked to me about a passage or hasn't spoken to me about a passage that I have a real passion about that I'm really excited to preach. Sometimes I'm just going through the book of 1 John and I'm like, hey, these are the next verses. I get to preach these. And in that time, I really do feel like the Lord teaches me. But this is just one of those, this one's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. It really is. And I don't know if it was just the part of my life that I was in when I was reading this or if I just kind of liked it. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We'll be in a couple books today. We'll probably start off in Numbers and then we'll go to Joshua, but we'll get there in some time. I want to talk to you about last week. I talked about kind of some high school stuff. I guess there was a lot of trauma that I'm trying to work through with you guys. Just kidding. Half of my senior year and maybe my whole first freshman year of college, I just really wasn't following the Lord like I wanted to, and even like I knew I should. I just wasn't doing it. And it wasn't the worst time in my life or anything like that. I just knew I wasn't where God wanted me to be. I wasn't like in like this worst moral place that I'd ever been in my life or anything like that. I was just kind of like, whatever, I'm going to kind of do my thing. And I don't know why. I think a lot of us probably, usually when anybody's talking to me about how they came to know the Lord and everything, they'll be like, so there was this kind of wild time in my life, right around high school, college. And I was like, yeah. That's like everyone's story pretty much. And this kind of falls right into that. I knew that I wasn't following the Lord like I wanted to. And it was kind of hard for me. I felt bad about it. I wanted a change. I knew what I should have been doing. I knew I loved Jesus. I loved going to church. I loved the Bible. I probably wasn't reading very much. Really, I think when it comes down to it, I was just incredibly lazy in my spiritual life. And so I think my spiritual life suffered big time during that time in my life. It wasn't until I really just made a determination in my life to begin following the Lord like I knew he wanted me to and like I actually wanted to, that God really started working in my life in amazing ways. I mean, as soon as I kind of made that decision, I mean, my whole life really, like everything that I am now started just right after that time when I decided, you know what, I'm going to follow God like I know I need to. And so, gosh, it was probably within weeks I was plugged into a small group. This is 22 years ago. 21 years ago. I got plugged into a small group. I told the leaders at the church I was ready to get into ministry, ready to walk with the Lord. I said, I want to be teaching one of these groups. And they're like, hold on, buddy. We need to know who you are and things like that. Let's plug you into a group and then let's kind of work towards that. And before you know it, I'm leading a group. Before you know it, I'm going overseas to China as a short-term missionary on an 8-week trip. That was never a thought of mine. And then the next year I did the same thing and went over again. And my life was really set into motion by just me kind of just getting serious with my walk with the Lord. And so pretty cool time in my life after that, not the best time during all of that. And so I want to take you guys to Numbers. This is going to give us some context of everything that we're talking about in Joshua. Okay, I could kind of tell the story, but if we read it, it actually tells it. I would tell the same things. It's just so verse by verse. It's like everything that I kind of want you to know is right in there. So if you guys are cool, I'm just going to read for a little bit. And we're going to start in Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to go right from 25. All right. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. All right. So let me just give you a context already for that one verse. All right. This is Moses has set the people free. God has set the people free from slavery in Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've gone to Mount Sinai. This is probably about 2 years after all of that. All right. And so now Moses, about 2 years or so, more or less, after those huge events, Moses is like, all right, so it's pretty much time to go into the promised land. We need to do that, but we need to send some spies, check everything out, make sure everything's good. And then we'll make our plans, battle plans and everything else, how we're going to take this land and everything. So this is that. At the end of these 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. So they spy out the land for 40 days. And it's not just like one little trip. They went to several places. They were 40 days, all right? They had a lot of time to kind of gather everything, all the information that they needed to take back to Moses and everybody like that. And so they returned from spying out the land. Here's the next verse. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation and the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they're like, here's the stuff that we got on this trip. This is verse 27. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified, all right? Big, strong city, thick city walls. These cities they're not going to be easy to overthrow. They're very large cities. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb, he quieted all the people before Moses, and this is what he said. So if just to spoil everything, we're going to look at Caleb. We're going to look at some of the things that he said, and we're just going to kind of hone in on him. So as he's talking here, just remember, we're going to hear a lot more from him here in a little bit. And this is what Caleb says. Let's go up at once. Let's take this land. So the big, strong people, the large, tall people, these fortified cities, all right? These large cities, Caleb sees it all and he's like, let's do this. Let's go up at once. Let's occupy this land for we are well able to overcome it. So he's like, hey, don't worry about this. We got this. Then the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up. All right. So Caleb's like, all right, we got this. All the other guys, except Joshua, they're like, no, we don't. We should not do this. And there was 10 guys, 8 of them are saying, nope, we should not do this. We should not go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. All right. We'll keep going. I'm just going to barrel through here. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out for those 40 days. The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. going to keep going in there. We saw the Nephilim, sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. Just they're tall people, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. So they're like, when we looked at them, we felt like grasshoppers. So we're just guessing that when they see us, they're going to think we're grasshoppers. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept all that night, because they're, remember now, they've been in the wilderness for two or so years. They're ready to get to the promised land that God has said, hey, this is for you. So they're weeping because they're like, okay, these guys, if we go up against them, we're getting creamed. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, I love this, wish that we would have died in the land of Egypt. Would have been easier to die there than it's going to be to die in these battles against these big people. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us just to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader. Let's go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. They're pretty upset. They're like, no, this is not how this is supposed to be. And this is what they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel. The land which we have passed through to spy it out, it's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. He's like, we're going to eat them alive. If God is with us, it's not going to be a problem. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord, Yahweh, is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Wow. Like, that's what they got for putting their faith in what God was about to do through them. All of a sudden, these people are like, okay, let's just stone them. Let's kill them. Let's kill Joshua and Caleb, who are really them. Now, obviously, they didn't think they were trusting in the Lord, but they're like, let's just stone these guys. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And I think that is my last verse there. All right, so that kind of sets us up, all right? Now you kind of know the whole story, all right? Caleb is about to be stoned. Joshua is about to be stoned. God stops it, and kind of everything subsides. But that's really when God says, all right, if you're going to do this, then for the 40 days you spied out the land, you are going to serve 1 year here in the wilderness because you're not trusting me. And for 40 years, they did. And that whole generation died. All right? So kind of picture that if you're Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were blessed by the Lord. They didn't have to die because they were ready to trust him and move forward with him. And so they were among the very few that lived during that 40 years. Everybody else, just think of a whole new Israel, all right? The old Israel that said, we don't want to obey the Lord, we don't want to go take this land, dead. All right, all of their descendants, all the little kids and everything, they're now adults, and it's like just a whole huge new group. So we're going to get to a point in the book of Joshua, all right, that it's time for them to divide the land up. So Joshua has led all of these people into the land. He has defeated 31 kings to get all of this land, all right? That's a lot of wars. That's a lot of war. That's a lot of fighting, a lot of battles and everything. Joshua is their leader now. Moses is gone. And that's when we get to this passage that I want you to see in Joshua 14. We're going to start in verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, there's our guy, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to Joshua, You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and I. What he's referring to is, remember, God told us that we were going to get a portion of the land because we were ready to follow him into the promised land at that time. And so he's kind of reminding Joshua about that. So let's go to the next verse. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. So whenever Moses sent them out, we have Caleb, he's 40 years old. Anybody 40 in here? Sadly, we got a 40-year-old, bingo, winner, winner, chicken dinner right there. Make sure you pick up mint in one of the bowls out there. You won that, all right, buddy? I'm almost 47. I'm like a few weeks away from 47. I wish I could say I was 40 still, but I can't. So he says, I was 40 when Moses sent me out to spy out that land. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He's like, when I went, I knew in my heart what we should do. I knew we should go. I knew we should trust the Lord. I knew he had this handled, and we didn't do it. But my brothers who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. Now, I want to kind of stop for a second just right there. I don't want you to think this is Caleb, like, coming and just demanding land. He's not land hungry. He doesn't want a whole bunch of stuff. This is like a promise from God because of his faithfulness that now all of this land is being divvied out after all of the wars and all the battles. And he's just saying, look, I want to remind you what the Lord had said to me, that he was going to take care of me and he was going to take care of my family and yours as well. And so this isn't coming out of this sense of I need. This is like, it's been a while since that time, and we're going to see how long ago it was here in a minute. But he's not trying to be selfish. He's not trying to get his. He's really in a place where he's ready to receive that blessing that the Lord had promised him. And so he said, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. I love that word, holy. There's another passage. It's just a few. If you just kind of keep reading in the book of Joshua, it talks about how he fully followed the Lord. And I just love that word. And so this is how it continues to go from there. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you. That's what God told him. And your children forever. Because you have wholly, again, followed the Lord, Yahweh, my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke these words to Moses. So if he was 40 at the time he went to spy out the land, he's about 85 years old now, all right? 85 years. It's not like a short time had passed. Remember, he went through the 40 years in the wilderness, all right? I mean, he's and plus, and so he's like, look, I'm old now, and it's been a while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old, but I'm still as strong as today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I can just see his children being like, maybe not quite. Like, maybe when you spied out the land when you were 40, maybe you're not quite as strong now as you were back then. And he's like, I'm still strong. He's flexing. I could see it. Just picture it. An 85-year-old guy. Do you guys, anybody 85, do you feel exactly as strong as you did at 40? My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Obviously, God blessed him with strength that a lot of other people didn't have. All of this kind of reminds me that the Lord's timing isn't our timing. Like, as you're looking at Caleb's life and you're seeing everything that the Lord did in him, and you're looking at the promise God gave him, and you're like, probably at that time, he was thinking, cool, this is going to be great. The Lord is going to give me some land. Maybe it's in a year or two. No, 45 years later, when he's 85 years old, then it's God's time to dish out some land to Caleb to reward him for his faithfulness. You ever been in a situation where you're just like, I know that God is helping me. I know that he's telling me something. Maybe that'll happen soon. Maybe he's leading you in some direction and you just kind of keep waiting and waiting. And then when it finally does happen, you're like, I guess that was the better time. But man, if I had my way, it would have been a long time ago. I remember when I was leaving Argentina, that entire process, I wasn't ready for. My timing was me being a missionary in Argentina for the rest of my life. I had no other plan. Not a one. And somehow, God's timing on all of that was a lot different than mine. He said, all right, it's been about 8 years. It's time to go back home. And I was like, probably not yet. And he's like, no, probably. It's about time. And so huge process that me and my wife went through with our kids just to come back here and everything else. Huge testimony to God and really just being like, okay, we feel like God is leading us back home. So if we stay here, we're just going to be disobeying God. So here we are. We've been here for 10 years now. I've had one job in that 10 years right here. Super excited that the Lord called me back here, but would have never picked it for myself and never would have seen God's blessings here if I had my way. London asks me, she hasn't asked me for a while. She's my 16-year-old. She asked me a lot the first 5 years that we came back. Hey, can you tell me again why God brought us back here? And I'd go through the whole story with her. And I'm sure I'll share that whole story with you guys sometime. But I don't think you guys want to stay that long tonight. So it was hard those first times. I'm like, I know it hurts. She was my most Argentine, all right? Parker lived the most time overseas in other cultures with Spanish and everything else. London, when she came, she was like holding an Argentine flag. I mean, she loved that place. It was home, and she just loved it. So it was hard for her to come back. All right, let me keep going. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. So there's like more battles for Caleb to go through. He's like, why don't you give me this land? And then if the Lord's with me, I'll go drive out all those people that you give. Then Joshua blessed him and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and to this day, that was when Moses was writing, not to this day. Caleb actually passed away. I didn't want to spoil that for you. Look at what it says at the end. Because he wholly followed the Lord. I remember reading this a few months ago. On a morning, I'll usually read a chapter of the New Testament, a chapter of the Old Testament. And I'll usually take one teaching out of each of those, just a little tiny tidbit out of each of those. And I'll just write it in my Bible. And I try to make that what I actually pray for myself. And I try and pray that for my wife. And I try and pray that for my kids. So I remember like sitting in my office. I remember praying this over everybody. But this story of Caleb hit me. It was like, when I read it, I was like, this is the kind of guy I want to be. Like this guy who later in Joshua says he followed the Lord fully. Three times in this passage, it says he followed the Lord wholly, entirely. He followed God. And I was like, man, that is just awesome. He believed God early, right? When he was 40, he believed God when nobody else would. And then 45 years later, he hasn't given up on God's promise to him. He made it through the 40 years in the wilderness, watching literally everybody die off. By the time he talks to Joshua, he's helped conquer 31 kings. He's gone through war. And through all of that, 45 years later, after a promise from God, it says that he wholly followed God. Do you know what I wrote in my Bible that day? I shared it with my family ministry team here, all the ministers that are involved in family ministries here. I shared it with them. I shared it with my family. I prayed it for my family. Here's what I wrote in my Bible. I try and make it a little catchy so I can remember it. And like I said, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. Follow God fully, not halfly. That's the kind of guy I want to be. And I can tell you, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I'm always following God fully. And I bet you anything, when I read this, I was like, I wonder if I'm kind of halfwaying my spiritual life with the Lord right now. Am I following him halfly? I know that's not a word. I get it. But I want to be the guy who's following God fully, not halfly, not like I was at the end of high school, not like I was for that year of college. Like, what does God have for us when we're fully following him? I don't know, but I know it'll be given to us on his timing, and it'll be a huge blessing. So my encouragement to you is, think about it. How are you following God? If you're like me, you might be in one of those halfly spots right now for whatever reason. Maybe you're just really busy. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's time to make a change. And if you're like, I'm following him fully, yeah, keep it up. Be more like Caleb. You guys have a wonderful night. We'll see you back next week.